Our New Testament lessons comes from the Gospel of John. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. I have to confess that it took me a long time to learn the difference between the words graduation and commencement. For the longest time, I thought those words were interchangeable and meant the same thing. Then I learned that graduation means to be recognized for having completed something, and commencement means to begin something new. Today, we're celebrating a milestone in the lives of our graduating seniors. It's a time for all of us to rejoice that they've met the requirements necessary to graduate from the lessons and the work of schooling. And now they're ready to commence, to venture forth into new realms. Some will go on for more education to achieve their ultimate goals. Others will enter the workforce and start to deal personally with paychecks and debts, repaying school loans, learning to live within their financial means, and learning to save money for future dreams and expenses. The graduates have already begun to establish the habits of a lifetime. They have started to decide for themselves what they can do and cannot do. They've begun to decide what they can afford to do and not do. They've begun to choose their friends instead of letting their friends choose them. As graduates who are mature enough to be called young adults, they've begun to choose their attitude towards correction and well-meant advice. How they handle time, money, responsibility, and relationships all will come out of these habits of a lifetime. For those of us for whom graduation and young adulthood is a distant memory, we remember when we experienced and learned the lessons that are ahead for our graduates. We have already established our attitudes and habits towards time and towards money and towards relationships and responsibilities. Sometimes we've been pleased with our decisions. Other times, not so much. What we have learned, however, is that once our habits are established, they're difficult to change. It's good for us, no matter what our age, from the youngest, like Ruby, to the oldest, whoever you are, no matter what our age, to take stock of where we are in life and how we are living our lives, so that no matter what the past has been or what the circumstances are that we're dealing with presently, we can look ahead to a future that is open and filled with possibilities. As Christ followers, we can stand on the promise that with God's help, we can change. We can change what we do. We can change our attitudes. Jeremiah 29:11, my favorite verse, is where God promises, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's good news. That's a great promise, because what that means is if we have not been doing our best, and if we need to change our habits, right now is the time to start. A year from now, what will you wish that you had started doing today? God promises to be with us. God promises to help us to fit into His plans. Today's scripture that I just read is a continuation of Jesus' instructions to the disciples that we heard last week. Last week in John 14, verses 15 to 21, Jesus told the disciples to prove their love for Him by keeping His commands, to love others as Jesus loved them. In addition, last week we learned that Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit would be with them to direct them and to guide them and to help them so that they would not feel alone or abandoned. That was last week. In today's scripture, in John 15, Jesus goes on to not only remind the disciples to show their love for Him through their obedience to Him, but Jesus goes on to tell them that the evidence of their discipleship will be seen in the fruit that becomes part of their words, their actions, and their attitudes. Jesus said, "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." How many of you have been to Kennywood? If you've ever gone to Kennywood and gone on the Noah's Ark attraction, at the front, at the entrance to the Ark, there's a sign out in the front that says, "All of the animals in the Ark came in pairs, except the worms, they came in apples." I remember that. I like corny jokes. I remember that. But the point of that has to do with the apples. King David was considered the apple of God's eye. Not because King David was so perfect and righteous, but because King David was continually striving to be obedient to God and to honor God. Whenever David messed up, and sometimes David really messed up, he prayed about it. He confessed his sin. He asked God to forgive him and to cleanse him. And when David prayed that God would not take his Holy Spirit from him, David was afraid. David was afraid that God would turn away from him in anger because of David's sin. David saw how evil his sin was in God's eyes. David did everything that he could to maintain his relationship with God, and David knew that ultimately it was God who restored his relationship with David. That's how it is with us too. As hard as we try to be obedient, and we should always do our very best to be obedient to God, as hard as we try, it's only God who can restore us to Himself when we have sinned. Christ followers, sincere, Bible-believing people who want to obey Jesus and bear the fruit of His Spirit, we want to be the apple of God's eyes. And we don't want any worms in our apples. We want to bear fruit, God's fruit, fruit that will be evident as from God, and fruit that will last into eternity. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. When we live like Jesus tells us to live, we are much more believable when we tell people about Jesus. A preacher named Dr. Ron Klein taught me that part of bearing the fruit of the Spirit includes telling people about Jesus. Dr. Klein tries to tell a different person about Jesus every day. What about you? All of us bear some sort of fruit. It's the evidence of what is most important in our lives. Are you bearing the good Holy Spirit fruit in your life? Can people see the evidence of Jesus living in you? Or is your fruit wormy? If it is, ask God to get in there and dig that worm out so that you can truly bear the fruit of God's Spirit. Jesus teaches us how to demonstrate our faith. Jesus teaches us how to live as his disciples. It's by bearing godly fruit in our lives. Not only will God be glorified by the fruit-filled lives that we live, but we will prove to other people that we are united with God. We won't feel like phonies when we try and tell someone about Jesus. Our lives will bear the fruit of God's Spirit living in us. Take stock of the fruit that you are already bearing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. According to John's gospel, Jesus chose us to be his disciples for the one single purpose of bearing the fruit of his Spirit. Jesus also promises that as he makes us able to bear the fruit, then God will answer our prayers. Let me say that again. Jesus promises that as he makes us able to bear the fruit, then God will hear our prayers. Whoa. Did you ever hear that before? Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Whoa. How about that? That's kind of a grabber. To whom has God led you? Make time to spend with people to whom God has led you. Make sure you invest your time with the people to whom God has led you. Who's God placed in your circle of influence? People are watching you. They watch you at home, they watch you at work, they watch you at school, they watch you even when you're here at part of the church activities. They listen. They watch. They learn from your words and from your attitudes. Attitude is a big deal. Be careful to choose friends who do not gossip, who do not teach you mean attitudes or fear-filled attitudes. They don't make the best friends. Make sure you pray for them. Make sure that you bear the fruit of God's Spirit whenever you have to be around them. But don't act like them. I have two verses from the prophet Jeremiah that I want to share with you. I already mentioned the first one. It's my favorite Bible verse, Jeremiah 29. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then in Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The great and unsearchable things of God are the promises of God found in the Bible. God's plan, God's promises are found in the Bible. So many times the world sees God's word as only threats of condemnation and punishment. The promises of God found in the Bible, they are meant to convict us of our sin, so that once we allow God to help us turn away from the sinful places in our lives that are not pleasing to God and are not fruit-filled, then God opens our eyes so that we can confess our sins and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we can see that God's promises are for us personally, for our good and not for evil, to give us future and a hope. The promises of God are also there for us to be encouraged and reassured of God's love and God's provision and God's protection from everything that would separate us from him. A song I know goes like this, and it's in reference to God. I love you with all my heart. I trust you. Trust only comes as I believe that every promise you have made, Lord, you made that promise just for me. As I wind through life's endless mazes, holding each promise to be true, you shower me with honors, blessings. The greatest prize, to be with you. It's a new day. If you want to get in line to receive the honors and blessings and promises that come with God's best plan for your life, it's time for you to commence. Get started. Put your fears aside. Get started with godly priorities. Get started into the adventure of bearing the fruit of the Spirit that God has already planted and is growing in your life. Graduate to that next level in your faith and your love for Christ and start living your life to the fullest. That's where the peace and the joy of God is found. Start your new life today with God directing your decisions and your steps to God's glory. That's all I have to say about that.